Appreciate Justin so much and leading us in those wonderful songs this morning, as well as all the other men for participating in our worship hour. We're grateful for the prayers that have been uttered. We're thankful for all of the thoughts that have been set forth in the Lord's Supper concerning the remembrance of Jesus' death on the cross. That wonderful song that we just sang, Send the Light. Such a great song. Such a great thought to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to others. That light, there's a reason they call it the light, because it brings truth. It brings clarity. It brings help. It brings aid to all of those who are out there in a world of darkness. And the world has so much darkness in it, and it is at times daunting to have to face the amount of darkness that is in the world. And that brings us to our lesson this morning in Isaiah chapter 21 and verses 11 and 12. And I invite you to open your Bibles to those verses for just a moment as we think about a message, a short message, a simple message, but yet a message that is full of encouragement, a message that is full of exhortation, a message that is full of hope, but also a message that has a dire warning within it. Yes, we want to send the light because of the great darkness that is in the world around us. And Isaiah wrote about that in Isaiah 21 and verses 11 and 12. This is a section of the book of Isaiah when Isaiah is prophesying about different burdens. The word burden in this context has reference to the future. It has reference to the concept of doom that's coming upon certain nations. And the burden is the prophecy, the word of God that Isaiah is speaking to these various different nations. And in Isaiah 21 and verses 11 and 12, we have a very short burden. It's the burden against Duma. And you may say, well, who is Duma? And that's a good question to ask, because in this particular prophecy, the word Duma isn't necessarily referring to a location or a particular nation, although we do get a hint of a particular nation when he talks about a set of mountains or a mountain range. And he mentions that in verse 11. The burden against Duma. He calls to me out of Seir. Watchman, what of the night? Watchman, what of the night? The watchman said, the morning comes, and also the night. If you will inquire, inquire, return, come back. Now that's the whole prophecy of the burden of Duma. And there's not a lot to it, but there is a lot to it as well. Duma is not necessarily a particular place here, but rather a thought or a concept. In fact, one commentator says this, the name, as it stands out here, is symbolical and without any demonstrable topographical application. He means there's no specific place that this refers to. Well, what does this mean? He says this, quote, Duma is deep, utter silence, and therefore the land of the dead. Deep, utter silence. That's what the word Duma means. We have then here the burden of the land of the dead. And what is that burden? It is that of one who is calling out and warning about the coming silence, coming out and warning about the coming end. Yes, that is a great warning for us to think about. And it leads us into several thoughts. The prophet says, he calls to me out of Seir. And that hints a little bit about to whom this prophecy is being written. Because Seir was a mountain range in Edom. And this is referencing the Edomites. and particularly their cry to God to deliver them against the Babylonian threat. You see, all of these smaller nations were under a great shadow, the shadow of Babylon. And Babylon was coming, and they were going to destroy all of these small nations and bring all their people back into captivity into Babylon. And many nations would lose their identity completely in this great sweep that the Babylonians made across the Middle East in this time. And the Edomites were looking for deliverance. You'll notice that there is this expression in verse 11, "Watchmen, what of the night?" And it's said twice. And the repetition of this phrase is to emphasize the great meaning of this expression. "Watchmen, what of the night? Watchmen, what of the night?" And then the watchman replies to this question. And his reply is this: "The morning comes, and also the night. And if you will inquire, inquire, return, come back." And so the Edomites were asking, what of the night? What is going to happen to us? How ultimately is this going to affect us as a nation, as a people, and as individuals? What of the night? And the response of the watchman was, yes, the night is coming, but also the day. The morning comes, and also the night. The morning comes. Well, what is morning in this passage? It is talking about the morning for Israel and the deliverance that God is going to make for Israel and the blessing that God is continually being to Israel, even in the captivity. There would be a remnant, and from that remnant would ultimately come forth that bright and morning star who is Jesus. The morning comes, and also the night. And yet, even though the morning is coming, there is still the threat of the night. And so what is my response to be in regard to this fact? If you would inquire, inquire, return, come back. And so there's a great call for repentance here for these people. Well, as we think about this, there's so much spiritual application that we have in this passage. And it leads right into what we are trying to accomplish and what we are trying to do this week as we make preparation for our gospel meeting this coming week, the Kingdom of God with Cody Westbrook. And we have such an opportunity this week to go out and to let others know. And of course, this afternoon, Brother Mike Rainey and I are going to be going out and we're going to be taking these flyers and distributing what we have left throughout the community. And we're going to try to get all of those handed out today. And you're invited to come and be with us and help us in that effort at 2 o'clock. If you're working with the Learning to Serve, we want you to continue to work with that and do that. But nevertheless, if you're not, we can use your help in taking these flyers out to the community. And we need more than just people to walk up to doors. We need somebody to drive and other things. I would like to do some door knocking myself. And I know Mike likes to do that too, but if you would like to come and help us, you can drive the van. You don't want to do the door knocking, you can drive the van. So, but I don't need 10 people to drive the van, but, you know, but we'll need the van for Learning to Serve too, so we may need some other drivers for that as well. We need some drivers to help us get out in the community today. So come and help us with that, because this is what the prophet is talking about. He's talking about, and this is the great message. The application, if you will, for us today is that we stand in a similar position to this watchman who is being asked, what of the night, you see? Because first thing we see in this passage is this watchman. Watchman, the questioner asks. Watchman. He's speaking to someone who knows something about something that he doesn't know. And he's asking a question. The watchman. You see, the watchman is God's messenger. And here it's the prophet Isaiah, and Isaiah is the watchman. But we also note that Ezekiel tells us about the watchman in Ezekiel chapter 3 and verses 16 and following. Let's turn over there for just a moment to the book of Ezekiel and see what Ezekiel has to say about the watchman. Ezekiel chapter 3 and verses 16 and following. Now it came to pass at the end of 7 days that the word of the Lord came to me, saying, Son of man, I have made you a watchman for the house of Israel. Therefore hear a word from my mouth, and give them warning from me. When I say to the wicked, you shall surely die, and you give him not warning, nor speak to warn the wicked from his wicked way, to save his life, that same wicked man shall die in his iniquity, but his blood I will require at your hand. If you yet warn the wicked, and he does not turn from his wickedness, nor from his wicked way, he shall die in his iniquity, but you have delivered your soul. Again, when a righteous man turns from his righteousness and commits iniquity, and I lay a stumbling block before him, and he shall die because you did not give him warning. He shall die in his sin, and his righteousness, which he has not done, shall not be remembered, but his blood I will require at your hand. Nevertheless, if you warn the righteous man that the righteous should not sin, and he does not sin, he shall surely live, because he took warning. Also, you will have delivered your soul. The watchman. There is a watchman in this passage. And this is God's messenger, the person who is tasked by God to take his message to the world around him. And we are God's messengers today. We have this gospel meeting coming up, and we need to let others know about the proclamation of the gospel. We need to let them know where they can come to hear the truth preached. We need to let them know that somebody is talking about the kingdom of God. And that's a great subject, a great topic. To be God's watchman is to be God's messenger. And this person is then required to give God's message. And we are all watchmen in one sense or another, because God has entrusted to us his marvelous gospel. We want to preach the gospel message, and we want to teach it to others. We want to let that message be known without respect of persons, because there is no respect of persons with God. Romans chapter 2 and verse 11, and Acts chapter 10 and verse 34. We want to take that gospel message to others to please God and to save men. Some try to please man instead of God, and by doing so, they pervert the message of the gospel and they don't tell all the truth. Paul said that he didn't try to do that. That in fact, to be God's man, he had to please God. He said, for am I now seeking the favor of man or of God? Or am I striving to please men? If I were still pleasing men, I should not be the servant of Christ. We've got to tell the gospel message. And we've got to do it to please God. And we've got to do it because the souls of men are in jeopardy. Know ye not that friendship of the world is enmity with God, James tells us. Whosoever therefore would be a friend of the world would be an enemy of God, James 4 and verse 4. And so let's get the gospel message out to others. Let's be that watchman that God wants us to be. Let's do as Micaiah said he would do. As the Lord lives, what the Lord says to me, that I will speak. 1 Kings 22 and verse 14. Do we have that attitude? Do we have the attitude of the Apostle Paul when he said, but though we are an angel from heaven, should preach unto you any other gospel than that which we preach, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again, if any man preach unto you any other gospel than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. Are we going out there preaching that gospel unadulterated, unencumbered by the traditions of men and the problems that are inserted into the message of the gospel? Just preaching the word of God, being the watchman that God wants us to be, testifying before all, as Paul said, that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shrank from declaring unto you the whole counsel of God, Acts 20, verses 26 and 27. We are the watchmen. That means we have a message of truth, a message of light. As we sang earlier, we want to send the light. But ye brethren are not of the darkness that the day should overtake you as a thief. For you are all sons of light and sons of the day. We are not of the light of the darkness or of the night. We are not of the night or of the darkness, but we are of the day. 1 Thessalonians 5, verses 4 and 5. And why is it that we are of the day? Because we have been bought by the precious blood of Christ. And God has taken us out of the kingdom of darkness and moved us into the kingdom of His dear Son. And so now it has been placed upon us, this great light that we have, to share it with others, to open their eyes, that they may turn from darkness to light and from the power of Satan unto God, that they may receive the remission of sins and an inheritance among them that are sanctified by faith in Christ. Acts chapter 26 and verse 18. Will we take that message? Will we be that watchman, that one to go out and to answer the question that those are asking in the world, watchman, what of the night? But secondly, we see in this prophecy the fact of the night. The night is dark and uncertain. And I don't know about you, but in the dark, it is very difficult to see. And the older I get, the more difficult it is to see in the dark. And the more uncertain I become about going out in the dark. And I simply am growing to a point where I less and less like being out in the dark. And I think some of you can understand that. Now, some of you who are younger, maybe not so much. And maybe I didn't quite understand that when I was younger either. But I'm starting to understand a little bit more now. Because with darkness comes uncertainty. One cannot see when it is dark. Why is darkness used as a symbol in the Bible? It is used that way because God wants us to understand something about ourselves, something about sin, something about how sin blinds us, something about what sin does to us when we try to go forward, being encumbered by it. The Proverb writer says in Proverbs 4, verse 19, "The way of the wicked is as darkness. They know not at what they stumble." And John wrote in John 12, verse 35, "He that walketh in darkness does not know where he is going." And that's true. You know, one time when Austin and Charlie were really, really young, we went to a cave in Central Texas called the Longhorn Caverns. Anybody ever been to the Longhorn Cavern in Central Texas? Some of you are shaking your head. Okay, good. Well, then you know where we've been before, but you don't know the story I'm about to tell. All right. So we were in Longhorn Cavern. And on that particular day, for some reason, we had chosen to go there. I don't know. I don't think the kids were in school yet. They were that young. And we were the only tour group. We were the only ones. Now, that's kind of neat. You know, you get to a little tourist place and you're the only ones there. And so that means you get a kind of a private tour, right? And so I was excited about that. I hadn't been to the Longhorn Cavern since I had been in grade school. So I was really excited about that. And the tour guide started taking us into the cavern, and you know, we were going in and going down. And we got to a certain point, and he said, "Now, the cavern splits two different ways here. And this way, usually I take people over this way, but it's kind of wet over there, and so I'm not going to take you there today." And I said, "Well, it's just us. We don't mind getting our feet wet a little bit. Can we go through there?" And he said, "Oh, yeah, okay, yeah, go ahead and go on." And so we started walking through there, and the kids were having a good time, and they were having fun, and we got through some narrow parts, and then we got into a wide open part, and we're almost to the place where we're going to meet the tour guide, and the lights just went out like that. And immediately, you know, what you do is you stop. We stopped, and I had gotten close to some of the top of the cavern, and so I dug down. You know, I stopped and I got down on my knees because I didn't want to bump my head in the dark, you know. And it was completely dark. It was pitch black. It was so dark. And when it's dark, you can't find your way. And we didn't know what was happening, what was going on. And the boys were saying, "Daddy, Daddy, where are you? Where are you?" And I'd say, "I'm right here." And they came closer to me, you know, they came closer. And finally I said, real loud, you know, "Hello, is anybody out there?" And then the tour guide said, "Yeah, I can hear you. Just a moment. I'll get the lights. I didn't mean to turn the lights off on you. I'll turn them on in just a minute." And so we waited and we waited and we waited. And finally the lights came back on. And I don't know that I hadn't been as thankful for light at that point before, you know, because I didn't want to stay down there in that cave in the dark, because it was completely dark. You couldn't see your hand in front of your face, you know. Night, darkness, it's dangerous. It's difficult to find your way. Spiritual darkness is the same. We need to really learn that lesson when it comes to spiritual darkness, that it is dangerous. The enemy holds the night, you see. Paul writes in Ephesians 6 and verse 12, "For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers." Listen, against the rulers of the darkness of this world. Against spiritual wickedness in high places. You see, the enemy holds the night. Colossians 1:13 says that the lost are in the power of darkness. They're grasped by it. They're held by it. I can understand that. I know what it means to be held by darkness. Because I was in that dark place and I couldn't go anywhere. I was held there. Even though no one was physically holding me back, I was held there. I needed someone to turn on the light, to show me where to go. The blindness of night brings great hazards. In Isaiah 56 and verse 10, Isaiah writes about other watchmen. He says, "His watchmen are blind. They are all without knowledge. They are dumb dogs. They cannot bark, dreaming, lying down, loving to slumber." Like dumb dogs. I had a dumb dog once. It was a Cocker Spaniel. Now, I don't mean to insult anybody's Cocker Spaniel, if you have a Cocker Spaniel. But this Cocker Spaniel was dumb. It would drink paint. That's how dumb it was. You know? I'm serious. You'd try to fool it, and it was so dumb, it would stand there and let you drop a brick on its head. It was that dumb. All right? So, a dumb dog. That's what Isaiah compares these false watchmen too. They're not really doing what they're supposed to do. A dumb dog that doesn't bark. It doesn't recognize a problem when it sees it. It doesn't act like a dog is supposed to act, you know. That's not how God wants us to be. He wants us to be watchmen. He wants us to recognize the danger of the night. He wants us to sound out the cry to others. Can we do that? Will we do that? Jesus said, and this is the judgment, that the light has come into the world, and the men love darkness rather than light, for their works were evil. John 3 and verse 19. And Paul writes, "For they that sleep, sleep in the night, and they that are drunken in the night." 1 Thessalonians 5 verse 7. He's not talking about physical darkness. He's talking about spiritual darkness that brings destruction upon us. And will we play the role of the watchman? Will we go out and warn others? Will we tell them about the night? Watchman, what of the night? And what is that message that we're going to tell them? The same message that Isaiah has. Morning comes, and also the night. There have been a few times that I have stayed up all night long. I remember one time when I was working in the computer industry and we were trying to do some upgrades on a phone system. All right? We were trying to do some upgrades on a phone system. And we would put the upgrade in place and it wouldn't work. And we'd pull it out and it still wouldn't work. And we'd put it back in and it wouldn't work. And we just kept doing that over and over again. And of course, this had to be done before the beginning of the business day the next day, you see, because We were there, and so we were there all night. All night, working on this system, trying to get it working, trying to get it going. And finally, I don't know what finally happened. We had some specialized technicians with us, but finally, we got it working. And it was almost morning. It was almost time for business to start. And I was so grateful for the coming of the morning on that day. Because you don't want to start a business day with your phone system not working. I mean, that's a disaster, you know. I've been in a few computer-related disasters before. They're not fun to be in. But I was grateful for the coming of the morning. That was a long night. It was a long night. Night can be debilitating. Night can cause problems. Night makes us long for the day when we really understand that. The morning comes. What a message. What a message. Peter said in 2 Peter 1 and verse 19, "And we have the word of prophecy made more sure, whereunto you do well that you take heed as a lamp shining in a dark place until the day dawn and the day star arise in your heart." What is he talking about there? He's talking about the preaching and teaching of the gospel. Who is the day star? That is Jesus. Why is he referred to as the day star or the morning star? If you've ever been up early in the morning and you've gotten out a very clear morning and gone outside, you may have noticed what's called the morning star. The morning star. And the morning star, of course, is today we know it as the planet Venus, right? But what is so cool about the morning star? What's neat about the morning star is this, that when you see the morning star, you know that day is coming soon. You know that that sun is about to come right up over the horizon. And for one who has been out all night and has braved whatever forces of the night are battling against him or her, and he finally sees the morning star, he sees that there is hope, that there is hope for the coming day. And when you see the morning star slowly arising in the sky, you know that soon after that morning star appears, that the sun is going to come up. And Jesus is that morning star. You see, he's the one who brings the day. He's the light bringer. That's the ancient term for the morning star. You see, they didn't call it the morning star. They called it the light bringer. Because they knew that that was the one after which the sun came. And so what is Peter talking about? He's talking about how the Word of God works within our life when we learn it. It's a lamp shining in the dark place. The Word of God leads us to something else. It's a lamp and it leads us. And we can see at night by it, but it leads us to something else. What does it lead us to? It leads us to Jesus. And Jesus is the morning star. By the Word of God, we get to see our way to the morning star. And when we see the morning star, and the morning star, as Peter says, when it arises in our hearts, we have day within our lives. And we're no longer blinded by the dark, but we can go forth into the world. Revelation 22:16, "I, Jesus, have sent mine angel to testify unto you these things for the churches. I am the root and the offspring of David, the bright and morning star." You see, it's Jesus that brings the day. It's Jesus who brings the morning. It's Jesus with whom we can live our lives in the glorious sunshine of God. The morning comes, but also the night. You see, there is a night that is coming from which no one will be delivered. In 2 Peter 2 and verse 4, Peter says, "For God spare not angels when they sin, but cast them down to hell and committed them to pits of darkness to be reserved unto judgment." You see, he's prepared a place for the devil and his angels. And that's the place of eternal night. And that place is waiting for us, or waiting as well for some, for those who choose not to live in the day, to live by the guidance of the morning star. Peter talks about some who are springs without water, mist driven by storm, for whom the blackness of darkness has been reserved 2 Peter 2 and verse 17. The morning comes, but also the night. What are we to do about this? If you will inquire, return, come back. In other words, don't hesitate. If you would inquire, do it right now. Don't wait for that eternal night when it is too late. Make the changes in your life today. Return, come back, do what must be done in this moment. Because now is the day. Now is the time when we have opportunity. That is the message that we as the watchmen must preach to others. That is the message that we need to take to our friends and family this week. Come and hear the gospel of Jesus Christ. Come to the bright and morning star. Come so that day may arise within your life and that you may be filled with eternal sunshine, both now and forever, and avoid the horrible eternal darkness that waits for those who refuse. Watchmen, what of the night? We speak about our meeting, which is coming next week, but there's a real sense in which today is the day of salvation. And if someone here this morning needs the prayers of the church, or recognizes that now is the time to make changes within their life, wants to come to Jesus, to the plan that He has for your salvation, to identify with Him in baptism, today is the day of salvation. Why not make things right with God right now? Let that day star rise in your life. Let the sunshine of God live within you. We're going to sing a song of invitation. There's someone here this morning who needs to respond. Now is the time to come. Let's stand and sing.